opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There's a long-lost friend right there. What happened? We're back to our old music.
Well, it's kind of fitting.
Yeah.
Kind of mock. It's about cars.
Oh, sure. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't drive kind 55.
Of. Some double meaning. Good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
This is Nigel and James. And
howdy.
It's February 1st.
It is.
It feels like it's July already. Well, no. I mean, outside it's 47 degrees. But time-wise, like I don't even remember New Year's Eve. That seems like last year.
I know, and I can't believe it's already February.
February 1st.
Here we go.
So,
rolling.
Welcome.
This place is cool.
We have some semi-regular guests here in the studio. Reading Buzz, Brendan Garrett.
Hello.
Yep. Thank you for having
normally,
us.
Normally, Jason is here. So I figured out something about Jason.
What did you figure out?
Because sometimes people
that
ask
he's not
him,
here.
Well, that because it's kind of quiet. But people ask him, "Hey, how come you don't, have some critical or some bad reviews sometimes?" And he says, "I don't want to mention it." So what I've noticed when he does have something bad, he's just sick, right? So he probably ate something bad somewhere in one of the restaurants around here, got food poisoning, and.
Yeah, that's one of the occupational hazards of being a food reviewer like Jason.
Right? So he's like, no, everything's fine. And he just goes home sick.
Yeah.
We have a special guest with us, Jesse.
That's it.
I got it right?
Yep, that's it. Jesse Adams.
From the Reading Drag Strip.
Correct.
Two words.
It has something to do with cars.
Yeah.
Two words.
Light them up.
That's right. And this was going to be somewhat of a special show this evening because it's been kind of a long time coming, but the details kind of fell into place probably 4 or 5 months ago when it was like one of those light bulb moments.
Mm.
So James and I, we were talking about this, and in partnership with Reading Buzz and a bunch of other people, a lot of parts
yeah,
all of a sudden.
Which is good.
So I think this is a good thing for Shasta County. We're launching the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce.
All right.
Woohoo!
Right?
Yay!
Yeah, the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always been a little confusing for me, personally, and James and I have talked about this for a number of years, of why Shasta County, as a county in general, hasn't really been singularly represented, either marketing or chamber-wise or tourism-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that.
We're in a very caveat right from there. It's not to disparage anything that exists right now. We're in huge support of what's going on in our community, and we are just trying to find another level where we can do good business for our county as a whole and support everything that's within that business or within
right.
the county. So, you know,
all the individual players, even throughout the North State, are doing great, right?
Yeah.
So, Reading's done a very good job at marketing itself, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other communities feel a little left out because mm-hmm. they're smaller or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. that's like Anderson or Chess Lake City or Fall River or Bernie. Except Bernie Falls is
full.
It's full.
Right? Yeah. Palisadro. I'd throw Palisadro in there.
And so
Palisadro, Bella Vista.
Yeah, Bella
Vista. They go on and on and on.
And so for me and for us, over the last couple of years, dealing with the various counties in Northern California, dealing with people on a county level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Humboldt County, Trinity County, Dilmore County, Siskiyou County. There's only one county that's not been engaged.
Mm-hmm.
For itself, and that's Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
It's been missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So rather than complain about it, I figured let's just do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So starting tomorrow, and well, we're going to have a few people signed up, but starting tomorrow, here in Shasta County, you'll be able to sign up for the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, and you'll be able to go to ShastaCountyChamber.com. We're doing things a little differently. Chamber 2.0, shall we say, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're going to be doing, that we are doing, is, as we say, level the playing field. So rather than have our tiered membership, that's a little, in these days, in this day and age, just a little pricey. We have a flat $97 a year flat fee, regardless of whether you're Costco or mom and pop shop, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no additional hidden fees and all that.
And even those fees that are coming in, obviously they have a purpose, but it will have even a more of a purpose.
Yeah. I mean, for us, obviously, at this point, it's a labor of love, right? So two additional things that we'll be doing through the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. I think one of the important things, obviously, is the tourism component. We'll be doing adding specifically the Shasta County Tourism Department to it, Shasta County Tourism Committee, which already has a good group of people on it. And then, in addition to that, we want to involve our youth, right? Our high schoolers and our elementary school kids. So we'll be launching something called Next Gen on Deck, right? Next Generation on Deck with our Shasta leaders. Mm-hmm. And we'll be bringing the kids and the youth into all things county related. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
And in that, when we say tourism, right, we're talking about Explore Shasta County.
Which
is an entity that also has been developed and on the process of, being whole and working and functioning, which all this is also part of and supportive of California Adventure District, which was where it all really started.
Right. So for California Adventure District, it's our collaborative.
And that's what this show really stemmed from, is CAD, California Adventure District, even though we go all over.
I was about to say.
From UFOs to whatever.
Bigfoot,
yeah, you name it.
Everything. Well, when you look at our region as a whole, it's an amazing region. Lots of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jesse here is going to tell us a little bit more about the Redwood Rally here pretty soon. So the big thing for us is the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. And we're very happy to be partnering up with Reading Buzz, which is a big part.
Yeah.
Because we do want to set the example of working together, right?
So 100%.
No need to reinvent the wheel.
And there's a lot of other little parts to this that you guys are even working on another entities or extensions to it. So, I mean, it's just all going to have to roll out as it rolls out. But there's a lot of people working on a lot of projects.
Yeah.
Which that's the most excited part for
this whole movement for the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. I think that the whole area is really just underdeveloped as far as a unifying chamber like that. And then I feel like it's a really great branding opportunity to help lift up the whole region. I feel like tourism, we have so much amazing features around us, including Mount Shasta and including, Lassen and these other surrounding areas, but very much not driving a lot of tourism dollars up here in this part of California. So I feel like working together with the Chamber, with California Adventure District and all these things that we're trying to drive forward, it's going to really, really help the whole area.
And the existing entities that are in place now, obviously, that we want to support and drive business to themselves as well. Nigel, can you, real quick, before we take our break, just give a real brief overview of Shasta County in the tourism world as far as our placement and why we've spurred this movement?
Well, so Visit California out of Sacramento, they're very generous in dividing California into 12 different regions, and they rank each region based on travel-related spending coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So of 12, we're number 12, right? And
are we region 12?
We are region number 12.
Okay, so there are 12. So just so we're clear, there are 12 regions, right? And we are region number 12, but out of the 12 regions, we are also
number
last, 12. Number 12 in bringing in.
No, I mean, meaning we're 12 because we're last.
Yeah.
And then the region on the coast, North Coast, is number 11.
So basically, California Adventure District area is last.
Last, we're last.
Second to last.
Yes. which I actually, I know it sounds weird, I'm actually happy about.
Sure.
Because
in
it
some
means
senses,
that,
yeah, for sure.
That there's only one place to go, and that's up.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 12 northern counties, again, there was only one county specifically that was not engaged in tourism at all, and that's Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
All the other counties have something going on relating to tourism.
At the county level.
At the county level.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. I mean, if we can drive more tourism dollars up into this area, think about the things that we really care about as a community that we really want to try to solve, like the public safety and things of this nature. And wouldn't increasing tourism to this area, wouldn't that impact these things that we care about?
It's actually a vital piece.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at traditional structures, right, police, sheriff, all that infrastructure for safety typically is funded by tourism.
Mm-hmm. And the other big the big thing is obviously the Reading Airport, which is now a regional airport. And through Jim, there's some airport manager. There are some big expansion plans going on, right?
Huge,
second terminal, big terminal.
Yep.
Just so that doesn't go to waste, we're going to need to get our act together.
Because that can't work if it's not being supported by ticket sales, right?
Yeah.
So
well, once we start getting in some racetrack discussion, we'll really see how many people we bring from outside of the county county.
We're saving the best for this next.
Okay.
Just spilled the sauce.
Yeah, no, just
how dare you, Jesse?
It's funny it's funny how directly it ties into the airport for multiple reasons.
Because you're right there.
One on great expansion and one on less expansion. So,
yeah,
the racetrack talk will get very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, both of you guys make a lot of noise, so that's good. Okay, we'll take our first 2-minute break and then we'll be right back.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yeah, dig it.
That's what I'm used to.
Is that it?
Him mixing it up, yeah.
Good evening, Northern California, February 1st, 2023, I think it is.
I hope so.
It's my jam.
So we just announced our Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, help support small business.
Is our tagline? We have many.
The tagline is Strong County, Strong Cities.
Right? Yep.
So if the county is strong, the cities will be strong automatically.
Strong County, Strong Cities.
Should be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of exciting business, Jesse with the Reading Drag Strip. So, do you own the Reading Drag Strip?
I'm co-owner. My partner, Tony Tripp, and we bought the racetrack. So, we own everything that's not bolted down. The property itself is owned by the city and the airport, but anything race-related, including grandstands, guardrails, timing system, everything to do with race operations at the racetrack, Tony and I own, yes.
So, is the land owned by the city, is that on a lease?
Yes, it's on a lease.
All right. Curious how all that works.
It's a really good way to do it because we put the land to good use. We couldn't afford to go purchase that type of property in California and operate with the way that property taxes and things are. So to lease from the city, put the land to use, bring a lot of people in, a lot of tourism, as we talked, bringing racers in. That's one of the things that we really want to focus on.
So Reading Drag Strip. So Jesse, so Were you into cars as a kid?
I'm a third generation drag racer, so yes.
So, okay, that's a dumb question. Right. I used to think there was no such thing as a dumb question, but I learned about 25 years ago that there was a dumb question when somebody asked me why their camera flooded, their underwater camera flooded when they went to change film underwater. And I was like, whoa, okay. So you were into drag racing as a kid.
Yep.
And so how old were you when you got in your first?
You probably started in a kart.
Well, now you can run junior dragsters. Kids can start as early as 5 years old, which is really good because motorcycles and sprint cars and quarter midgets, that type of stuff, kids can start at that age. NHRA now allows them to start at 5, where it used to be 8. And what they were seeing was a lot of kids at 6, 7 years old going into other forms of motorsports because they weren't old enough to get into a junior dragster. NHRA changed those rules, and it's really been good for the sport. And I didn't actually drive a junior dragster. At that time, my dad was racing real heavy like I do right now, and I didn't start driving until I was 15. Start driving a race car, I should say.
Mm-hmm. I'm just having all these thoughts go through my head.
Everybody is. We're all staring at it. We're processing. I'm like, God, what I could have been.
No, right?
Do you guys have any, or do you have anything to do with the moto stuff that's going on out there, too?
So one of the things we kind of changed, and legally it's still called Reading Drag Strip, but we've slightly rebranded the property to Reading Motorsports Park, while Stillwater Motocross, Shasta Kart Club, and Shasta Supermoto all operate on the property also.
Okay.
So two of them run on the asphalt track at the end of the drag strip, and then Stillwater Motocross is to the northeast corner, and they brought that motocross track back. Dusty's done a great job. I think the last time it operated was like in 1987 or something.
Oh, wow.
So it really is a motorsports park. There's four different entities out there right now, and we all have a blast. We work really well together, and we bring in hundreds, thousands of spectators.
Mm-hmm. The only reason why I asked is because my brother's a racer out there. He races constantly, Hawk Mazada. And so he does the motorsport stuff. And he travels literally right now all over the country and Canada and stuff racing besides here, too. So he's super stoked about all the stuff that's been going on in development here in Reading.
Well, before I actually took over this track with Tony, I raced upwards of 36, 40 weekends a year all across Northern California or many parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And then once COVID came, all the racetracks closed down, and there wasn't a racetrack hardly open in the country, let alone in California, except for Sac Raceway. Well, I have an inn at Sac Raceway, and we managed, because it's private property, we went through all the local government entities. We went CDC. We went through the sheriff's department. We went to district manager, district supervisor. We went to everybody, and they said, it's private property. You guys kind of do what you want. So we started holding closed gate races, and we really did good. We did really, really well. We had people come from Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Idaho. They came from everywhere to race with us during COVID times. Wow. One of the things we ended up doing,
those are all the states that were free.
Well, they were, but their racetracks were still closed. So
yeah, it's true.
We ended up coming up here and renting the track from Charlene one time, and we put it kind of undercover. So in the street racing game, when guys go street racing, they say, we're going to go race in Mexico. So Sacramento, we called that Mexico during COVID. Then we rented the track up here, and we called it Canada because we came up north. You know, I'm not a proponent of street racing at all, but the lingo is kind of fun.
Yeah, but during COVID, this place was locked down, and I was semi-joking last week that during lockdown, I had the city to myself. I mean, it was like a race strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's hunkered down.
I know you talk about that all the time. I mean, downtown here, we had the business, right? It wasn't even – didn't even seem – like the blink of an eye that everybody, the streets were just empty and it was quiet and stuff, and Mother Nature came back. I mean, I'm sitting in my shop looking out the window, and there's turkeys wandering down on Placer Street and a deer and we had bear, and I'm like, Lord, the pavement's not even cooled off yet, and the nature's already coming back.
Yeah. So are you from here?
I'm not. I live in Browns Valley, which is near Collins Lake outside of Marysville. Born and raised in Sacramento, raced in Sacramento a lot, raced up here in Redding quite a bit in the 2010 era, then kind of raced more on tour for a handful of years, and then once COVID came and things kind of shut down, everybody was stuck closer to home, and then once we had an opportunity to come up here, we just kind of the opportunity was presented to us. Charlene, who used to own the racetrack, she said, hey, I've done this for 9 years. I'm ready to move on. I don't see anybody else really be able to operate the track as well as you guys probably can. So I don't want it to close. If you guys are interested in purchasing it, that's exactly what we did.
Well, thank you for that, because you guys have done an awesome job. I get the emails for the whole moto, you know,
all the
stuff that's going on at your space, the whole thing. And I think it's really exciting and cool. We come from a race family. All my brothers and I all, you know, got our IMSA licenses and stuff, but we were road racers, right? But my brother and my other brother have taken off on the motorcycle and then all the other kind of things that they do. And so it's kind of cool.
So now that you're... I mean, there's obviously a reason why you picked the Reading area. We'll say Shasta County. So how do you feel about this area? Do you think it's an untapped market or in general?
Well, it definitely is. One of the major problems we have on the West Coast is nobody builds new racetracks and nobody's able to build new racetracks. All racetracks do in California is close. We just lost two or three in the last 3 or 4 years. There's no telling what's going to happen with drag racing at Sonoma Raceway or Sacramento Raceway. There's all sorts of loose ends that things change daily. The good thing about Shasta County is you are a massive, massive car culture. People up here love horsepower. They love cars, motorcycles. Doesn't matter what it is. It's got an engine up here. They love it. So cool April nights.
Boats.
Yeah. We got great water up here. Cool April Nights is a massive car show, probably one of the largest still in California, especially one that's very hands-on, not like some of the big roadster shows that are only high-end million-dollar show cars. But out here, it's very hands-on. They got shows that I couldn't even tell you how many businesses have put shows on throughout the week. So
show and shine.
It's very inviting. The car culture loves it. We actually brought in nitro cars last year to Cool April Drags, which is the first time there's been a actual nitro competition in Reading in decades, literally probably since the 60s or 70s. And it was the largest Cool April Drags ever. I think we had 6,000 people on the property on Saturday night. It was absolutely
mayhem.
It's
wicked. And Reading Buzz was there, and I will tell you, that was amazing.
That was epic.
It was pretty cool.
And so when you put on the races... this is obviously a tourism draw, you said. You have people coming from all over.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is we try to draw in as many spectators as we can. You know, we want people to be entertained. We want to put on a really good show. That's one of the reasons we put our drift pit in. While drag races are happening, if a car oils down the racetrack or we have to do track prep or something, then racing stops. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to get your spectators to come in the gate, and you want them to buy a burger, a beer, hang out. But if the racing stops and goes and stops and goes, they'll get bored and they want to leave. You need constant racing. So we put in the drift pit. We actually hire in some pro drift teams that come in. And while track prep or track cleanup is being done, we send those guys out, and they'll run three cars deep at one time in this 240 by 80-foot pit and really keep the crowd entertained. You would be amazed how many cell phones you see in the air while we've got three drift cars in this little pit at one time.
You ever see those enclosed... enclosed
spheres.
Spheres
with the motorcycles.
Motorcycles and the go karts that go I don't know how fast they go, but
I'll tell you what I
that's
really
like
wish
a death wish on a stick.
I really wish we had out there was a what's the word? I just had it in the left. What's
swimming
the,
pool?
No. The one where you get in and you crash into each other.
Demolition Derby,
yeah. I would love a derby. That looks like so satisfying, I can't even tell you.
I'm pretty sure they do that in Red Bluff.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We got some monster trucks down there, yeah.
Well, I like the monster trucks and tractor pools, too, but I would love to have a derby in Reading.
The Reading Derby.
Derby would be cool. This year, we're actually bringing back the diesel drags.
Are you?
So in May, we're going to have the NHDRA, National Hot Rod Diesel Association, back out there. They haven't had diesel drags in Reading in... a handful of years, but it's a huge truck community. So that's going to be in May, somewhere around the 20th. I don't have a calendar in my pocket.
Well, it sounds like you guys are kind of working in those directions. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
it's awesome.
I focused on bracket racing and certain types of drag racing most of my racing career. But now that I'm owning a track and operating a track, you don't get big spectator crowds at bracket races. And then you've got a whole bunch of people who like their niche. They like to see this type of car race. They like to see nitro cars, or they like to see fast outlaw door cars, or pro mod cars, or funny cars, or jet cars. And the truck community wants a diesel drag. So really what you need to do is, if you're going to own a racetrack, is not just focus on one type of spectator.
Mm-hmm.
You focus on multiple types of spectators so you can get them to come consistently throughout the year without kind of watering it down. You don't want to water down the show. You want them to be excited to come, excited to be there, and see exactly what they want to see. So instead of provide three types of racing, you provide 20 types of racing, and people pour through the gates all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a nice break. Before I go to break, 0 to 100 in how many seconds did you drive your car?
Oh, I've been 247 and 0 to 100 in less than a second.
What? Yeah.
So that's a rocket.
We'll be right back. We'll take our second 2 minutes.
Boom.
Bye.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good evening, Northern California. We're back. Nigel and James, and our friends.
Yeah. I'm going to take a shot at this one. Is it Cheat Trick Surrender?
Very good. Did you cheat on this one?
I didn't. It's one of the few songs I remember from Guitar Hero, the video game.
Yeah. I was going to say, can't be very far back.
No.
We have Jesse with us, the owner of the Reading Drag Strip.
Mm-hmm.
So you said to somewhat subtly lead you in, but I'm just going to say
we're just going to drop the anvil yeah. on your head.
Yeah. Street legal drags. What's up with that? And you know, it's unfortunate, right?
As soon as you said street legal drags, I was just like, ooh, what does that mean? Actually, I'm just like, you just get out on the highway and rip it up.
Well, that's actually what we're trying to avoid. Get people to avoid. Exactly. Yeah. So. Out there at the track, we have the street legal program, and the street legal program is really based at or directed towards high school students, and to keep people coming out and racing for cheap, so they don't race on the streets. And that happens usually in the evenings in the summertime. We have a couple midnight mayhem deals where we don't start till 9 or 10 p.m. and go till 2 in the morning. But if you have a high school ID and you come out to the racetrack, you pay your $10 admission, you can race for free. And most of the time, that's cool. It seems like we're getting 100 cars out there.
I was going to say, it's got to be just insane.
We'll get 100 vehicles.
If somebody had told me in high school, I'd have been all over that.
It's not uncommon to see 800, 1,000, 1,500 people out there, and about 50% of them seem to be between the ages of 16 and 24, which is
fun.
It's good. We really have to keep the younger generation interested in racing and cars. Otherwise, racing is going to die out. We've got a lot of old guys that race, and we need to keep the younger generations interested. When it comes to calling it street legal, you can bring anything you want out there, and that's just we'll lead into the Redwood Rally part of it.
I'm just imagining a bunch of kids in their 2003 Honda Civics
with the base crank
all lowered.
Oh yeah,
and you get the guys out there in their lifted diesel pickups with cowboy boots on running.
That's cool
and
too.
It's just anybody, anything, any car, come out to the racetrack and drive it. And one of the really difficult things about drag racing these days is a quality race car might cost $80,000. Mm-hmm. A truck right now, $50,000, $80,000. Yeah. A trailer right now, $30,000. What young person can afford to just go spend $150,000 on a real racing program? That's one reason why these drag and drive events, like I've got going right now, we just started putting together what we call the Redwood Rally. It's a 5-day, 4-racetrack tour that's 700 miles, starting in Redding, going up to Samoa Drag Strip, then up to Coos Bay, Oregon, Medford, Oregon, and back to Redding. The drag drives are becoming extremely popular because guys are able to take their hot rods or street legal race cars or whatever you want and go to 5 drag strips in 5 days and race without having to have $100,000 with a tow rig. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of these cars you'll see on the Redwood Rally are insane. Mm-hmm. You'll see $100,000 race cars that are street legal that are going to make this 700-mile tour. It's really big in the Midwest. I actually did one. I competed in one in Australia in 2019.
Ooh.
And that was a blast. That's the only drag and drive I've done. And ever since, I thought, man, I'd like to do that again. I'd like to do it again.
That's the true drag and drive. That's wow. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
There's Mad Max.
Have any of you guys been to Australia? It's an amazing place.
No,
not yet.
Been there one time for business, but
I don't think they'd let
no
me
pleasure
in right now.
Whatsoever.
Well, I'm actually going back. Speaking of street racing, I'm going back February 16th for a month. I'm going to go with Discovery Channel and the No Prep Kings. Dang. To help some of the racers over there.
That's just around the corner.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
I know.
So I'll be gone for 5 weeks, nice. Helping Disco Dean with the Stinky Pinky car. He actually came here last September. So NPK ran up in Boise, Idaho. Then they came down, and Disco came to Redding Drag Strip and grudge raced with Bodie. And then they went down to Tucson. I was at all three of those weekends. And then when NPK said, we're going to Australia, we're racing against the Australians, Dean asked if I'd like to go there. I said, yeah, count me in. I'm really pushing hard to get with the producers because our next big step, and this is what Jim Wadley at the airport really, really wants. Jim Wadley wants Discovery Channel.
Yep.
And the Street Outlaws racing at Redding Drag Strip. So I'm doing everything I can.
Well, I see, like, in that, you could actually at some point create a whole TV series.
Uh-huh,
absolutely. Yeah. On this kind of, you know, industry in general and all the things that are about it, right?
Well, we just had David Freiberger and Finnegan from Roadkill Garage. Roadkill just filmed an episode at Redding about 6 weeks ago. So we're really trying to tap all the resources we can to bring more people into this racetrack. And we had thousands of people at Cool April Drags. Many of the cars came from Southern California, the Bay Area, Oregon, Washington, Idaho. We've had people come from all over, and you know, they all spend money at restaurants, they all spend money at hotels, lots of fuel, groceries, gas, everything. It's the racetrack brings a lot of people into the community.
So being a fellow car nut, ever since I was a teeny weeny boy in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 60s, 70s, whatever.
30s, 20s.
Yeah. Always been into it. Have you noticed over the last couple of years, because of YouTube and social media, that obviously TV has changed, right? So there's a couple of YouTubers that I follow who are car guys, Stradman, right? Doug Murrow and a bunch of others. And they seem to have, there's probably a dozen.
One of the biggest ones out there these days is Cletus McFarlane.
Yeah. So have you seen an uptick in social media presence or social media influence on the drag racing community or the car community in general?
Oh, definitely. Anymore, that's the best advertising we can do is you just flood Facebook and you flood Instagram. TikTok does okay. Instagram and Facebook, that's where you've got to flood it. And you just keep putting it out there, especially to get the younger kids out to come see. You know, older people, they kind of know. They go to the website. They look at the calendar. And they'll follow it that way. But if you really want to keep people talking, you just got to hit things like Reading Buzz. Reading Buzz does a great job promoting us and promoting everything they do on Facebook and social media. That's right. That's where their reach is.
Buzz. You've been buzzed.
Buzz by. We have so many buzzwords.
Yeah,
now.
We got some good. We should rerun the video that we did for the with the jet car and stuff like that. That was really fun.
That's good. Okay, so I think we went over the Redwood Rally thing a little quick.
Okay.
So Redwood Rally. So in September what to what?
September 26th through 30th.
26th through 30th.
We actually did our registration yesterday.
And it's full.
We filled it up in about 14 minutes, maybe. Yeah. Less than that.
How many spots?
So you have how many people coming?
150 entries.
Oh,
we actually,
Lord.
We actually oversell a little bit. We oversell to nearly 200.
People will drop out.
Yeah, we do know that the dropouts are high. The good thing is the dropouts are non-refundable. I mean,
as it should be, though.
And it's 9 months away, so things change. But we oversell a little bit. We don't want to sell it right on the money and then have a low car count at the event. Mm-hmm. So you oversell it a little bit. Make sure your car count is in a target range for the event. And if it's a little high, that's fine.
So what if they all show up?
Good. Great. Good. I mean,
it's a big party.
When it comes to actual race operations, I can get an entire event done with 200-300 cars on the property in a day, easily. So to have 150 cars out there without the typical race format where you have to really assemble people, the drag and drive, they just basically make time runs. And then they turn in their slips at the end of the day, and we have all of our competition criteria that has to go with that. And then they move their way onto the next racetrack. And we've got some really good sponsors coming on board for the Redwood Rally. And some of our sponsorships, we're actually going to require our competitors to stop at these businesses and turn in a receipt saying that this is the proof that I went to your sponsor's business. And that really pushes people that direction. Mm-hmm. It's not just about driving by or saying, hey, business, thank you for supporting us. They support us. We send 150 competitors directly into their store, and they have to provide us with a receipt in order to move to the next phase of the rally.
Wow.
How do I get on that list?
To
go to my store.
Just shoot us an email, lcredwoodrally.com.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, at lcredwoodrally@gmail.com.
Okay.
Nice. There you go. We'll take care of that. Let's go ahead and take our last two-minute break. And when we come back, I want to get into what Reading Buzz is doing, the chamber, and a little bit more of the Reading Drag Strip.
Cool.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good evening. We're back in Northern California. Nigel and James, and our friends.
Good evening.
February 1st, 2023. It's kind of a big deal for us. I think this is kind of an interesting show all the way around because it kind of proves our point a little bit. So we've just announced that we are starting the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce.
Explore Shasta County.
And Explore Shasta County. Mm-hmm. Because we kind of feel, you know, Shasta County's kind of been
great.
It's great. And it's kind of been left out of the limelight. So we want to do something big for Shasta County. And Jesse from the Redding Drag Strip kind of proves our point that we have such a massive industry here, like an event that's a draw.
It's a culture.
It's a culture. And it's right here. It's the same thing with some of the other things going on around Shasta County.
Well, a lot of people don't clue. We have one of the most prestigious bow and arrow competitions.
Bow
competition.
Archery.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah, that sounded very, very elementary, didn't it?
He's sitting over there saying, "How do I get a drag car? And how do I get on the vendors list to get everybody to come to my shop?"
Yeah. Same thing with
that too. And how do I start a derby?
Right. I'll do it with you.
A crash and bang 'em up derby.
And you know, there are some other examples of industries around here that are massive, right? The honeybees has the honeybee
festival,
a bunch of other stuff. And probably in a good front row seat would be like Reading Buzz, right? So you guys have probably seen over the last couple of years, whatever, like a change in demographics. Is there an uptick in audience or a change in demographic? How would you describe audience change for you?
Audience is definitely shifting. It's growing in size. It's spreading in reach. There's a lot more young people moving up here now. Mm-hmm. I think after especially the lockdowns of the cities, it's really did drive a huge increase in adoption of technology and remote workflows, and now people can move their, you know, pick up and move to an area like Shasta County before there's, you know, even lots of jobs and everything to fill in. So I think we're seeing a lot of that growth, and so we're, you know, looking forward to basically.
There's a few people I follow on Telegram that citizen journalist types, pretty cool, but quite a few of them are going around cities, and they're noticing that many of the office buildings are just empty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just done. You know, people got a taste of working from home, and so like, yeah, I can do this, right? And so I think that actually Shasta County, with the right approach, is the perfect position to be that place where no matter where you are in the world, you could actually live and work in Shasta County,
mm-hmm.
right? If you had a remote job.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be great. And so, Jesse, you mentioned about, well, you are a perfect example being in the drag strip. I'm just going to say that the car culture in general is pretty massive, right? Always has been.
Well, when it comes to running a racetrack, you know, I don't want to focus on any specific events, but Redding Drag Strip itself was founded by the Shasta Roadsters in 1948. It became an NHRA sanctioned track in 1955. This year we're bringing an NHRA event back in April And it's going to be a tribute to the Shasta Roadster. So it's the NHRA Heritage Series. It's all nostalgia racing. And cool. Then shortly after that, we've got a massive motorcycle event coming. We've got Cool April Drags. Then we've got a no-prep race. Like, the diversity, the diverse amounts of racing that we have is something for everybody. And as many people, hundreds of people, thousands of spectators we're bringing in from out of town. There's also like a really difficult flip side to what you're talking about with more people moving up here is people these days only want to focus on what matters to them. And noise from a racetrack is always a problem and always gets complained about. So things when you're doing the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, one of the big talking points we need to prove and put into people's heads is, yes, the racetrack might make noise. The airport might make noise. But it brings a lot of people in to mm-hmm. really help support the city. And if people would think about it on those terms instead of just, well, I really don't like hearing this racetrack going while I'm mowing my yard or while I'm doing
while I'm making noise with my mower.
Right. You would be shocked what type of noise complaints people will make around
it.
Racetracks. And racetracks that have been there for half a century and yeah, a neighborhood like, that's been there for 5 years.
You moved into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
New. That was already there. That's the stuff that gets me. It's like, well, the airplanes, they have a jet now. Yeah, but you moved next to an airport. What did you think was going to happen? Progress continues.
It's kind of funny about the noise because, you know, I lived in L.A. for 25 years. So, you know, I was always used to having 747s overhead, you know, 300 times a day. Right? It wasn't until I moved here that I noticed the silence. And whenever there is a jet going overhead, it feels like an anomaly and it feels like mm-hmm. back in the city.
It amazes me sometimes how everybody's used to noise and background noise, and it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. But people are triggered by a different noise.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to get people to relax on that and just realize.
My experience with that is movies in the park.
Yeah.
Like, right? We do movies in the park once a summer, 3 months, only on Fridays. So you're talking four times, 12 times an entire year, and we're in a park, and we show movies for free to the community, and there's always people calling, complaining that the movie soundtrack or whatever is too noisy.
Yeah,
and you're like, you can't handle just four Fridays in this park, right? for the betterment of where we live.
And if they'd get off their porch and go check it out and see all the people yeah. having fun and the mm-hmm. kids enjoying themselves.
And join in. You
know, we're doing a concert in the park at the racetrack this year. It's called a concert at the car show.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a car show while a band's playing.
Metallica?
Probably not.
Man.
I wish. That would be awesome.
Just checking.
But it's just one of those things that if they would get up and actually go see how many people are enjoying it, they might not complain so often. But it's the biggest struggle. Noise complaints are the biggest struggle in the racing industry. That and space. We just lost Fontana Drag Strip down in Southern California. Great racetrack. Right next to a train yard. They had to spend millions of dollars on a sound wall because the racetrack was too loud that operated in daylight hours, and they're next to a 24-hour train station. But now they're parking Amazon trailers on that property because they can make more money by... They closed Fontana.
Oh,
the NASCAR track is still open. They're turning it from a super speedway into a short track. But the drag strip area, the drag strip's still actually there. But it's cheaper. They make more money parking Amazon trailers on it than they do operating it as a racetrack. And when it comes to just the bottom dollar of things, that's one reason we're losing racetracks. But the main reason the West Coast is losing racetracks is kind of urban sprawl and noise complaints. Mm-hmm. And that's what's great about Shasta County, whether it be Anderson Speedway, the racing, little bit of racing they do in Red Bluff and at the airport at Reading Motorsports Park. We don't get the noise complaints.
It's amazing to me that it's not a disclosure issue, really. Like, right? Like, so mm-hmm. I'm a contractor. I decide to buy a plot of land. I've decided to build a, you know, 100 home
retirement community next to the drag strip.
A community, and you're building it next to a drag strip that you said that's been around since the 40s or whenever it was, and right. So. Those people, in my opinion, don't get the right to complain about the drag strip because you're moving in. However, if you moved in and it wasn't disclosed by the builder that, by the way, you know, half a mile from your backyard is a drag strip, just so you know, there's no complaining because you're moving in there.
But
well, how deep do you want to get into like the very basics of local politics these days? So take Idaho, for example. People in California sell their houses high. They buy low in Idaho. They love it. They love the freedom. They love the way Idaho is.
And then it snows.
Well, then they get about 2-3 years in, and they think, man, I really miss having all the buildings this color. So they start getting on to city councils. They start doing things. And after a handful of years, they really work hard to change the rules. And they bring back into place exactly what they fled from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that Redding and Shasta County really needs to stay, not get complacent with that. Mm. You know, I'm from Sacramento area, but I'm all about the racetrack. So I don't have that. I'm very pro racing. I'm pro just do what you want to do. Be the way you want
to
be.
So I remember when I first moved up to Redding 13 years ago, you know, still to this day, you can drive from one side to the other in 12 minutes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I remember being on this side of the town and being able to hear the drag strip. I'm like, that's kind of cool,
mm-hmm.
right? Like from downtown. When it's quiet, yeah. you can hear those sure. racers.
You can hear the train from anywhere.
Yeah. You really can.
At 2 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I'm up here for days on end and I stay out at the racetrack, while I'm doing, whether we're working events or I'm just doing maintenance or anything I need to do, I take my RV up there and I just stay at the track. Nothing makes me happier than a jet coming in at 3 a.m. and waking me up. Because it's just like perfect. As soon as they start putting those restrictions, like, say, John Wayne Airport, they can't have a plane come in or out after 9 p.m.
Santa Monica Airport.
As soon as you start getting those, then you know, like, it's going to start getting real.
Yeah. And I enjoy it. Like you said, I live down in the Garden Tract, so I'm not super far from the Civic and the Rodeo, right?
Mm-hmm.
When something obviously happens at the rodeo ground, somebody does something great on a ride, if I'm not there, you can hear the crowd go wild, right?
Right.
When they do concerts on the lawn, I hear them, people screaming and yelling a bit. But that's part of my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, I know that, right? I go out in the backyard, have a beer, sit, you know, feed my chickens, do that, and listen to people screaming and yelling, having a good time, and it makes me smile.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to go on all friggin' night.
Well, the thing to remember about Shasta County, specifically, which is why we're doing this, the chamber and the tourism piece, Shasta County is 3,800 square miles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and that's how big it is.
A lot of greenbelt, but still a lot of space.
I mean, that's a big piece of land. And sometimes we have these conversations. Well, so I understand people will say, well, we don't want all these people coming here. Well, my question to you, if you're in Redding or Anderson or Shasta Lake City, how long does it take you if you drive east, right, 299 or 44? How long does it take you before you're in the middle of nowhere?
Not long.
No. Probably about 7 minutes, 6 minutes, maybe tops.
Yeah.
Right? And you're in the middle of nowhere for the next 2 hours.
Yep. Rice right? fields.
Which, and Bella Vista Tea Company.
And Bella Vista Tea Company, that's it.
Right? Good plug, good segue.
Yep. Nice.
So, you know, we obviously don't want to become LA, but that I don't think that's even possible.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely isn't, but there's just an element to certain people that want to push their complaints. And the more they push the complaints, the more city and people, they don't want to tell them no. It just never ends up happy. You can't make everybody happy. So the better that everybody can do to say, look, let everybody enjoy themselves and do the concerts, the movie night, the racetracks. It's not like we're doing it 24 hours a day, week in and week out. And as long as local businesses really realize how much tourism and money and things that the racetrack bring in from outside sources, they'll be on our side as well.
Sure.
That gas station at Rancho, while their fuel prices are a little high, they can't keep ice in that store during the winter, ice or beer. They sell out all the time when races are in town.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Unfortunately, one of the things, like you said, that's made a change is that we've created, there's been a big shift in culture and we've created this ability for the few to very easily override the majority, right? Like, so, you know, these people don't like it, but, you know, 10, and there's 100 of them, but the 10,000 that want it are the ones that always end up suffering for the few. And that, and that's got to change again, mm-hmm. too, because it's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure you can compromise and have all the drag cars be electric, right? So, like silence, racing.
you know, No.
Part of the fun. Just all electric.
It might be a bottleneck at the one plug-in.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't mind having an all-electric drag weekend out there sometime, yeah, you know, because cool. It's just another group.
Another
have more people come and say, oh, I want to go to the electric drags. One of the big things that drag strips kind of thrive on now from time to time is the auto manufacturers come using them as proving grounds, or they bring a bunch of their employees out and they do a day at the track, and they let them run in cars all day long. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I was just talking to the operator there, Jeff Foster, last week. They're not considered just a motor speedway anymore. They're considered an event center.
Yep.
It's amazing what things they put on.
Well, that was a quick hour.
That was.
Anyway, thank you very much, Northern California, Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. Up and Adam tomorrow.
Yep.
Reading Buzz, thank you. Buzz, Jesse.
ReadingMotorsportsPark.com. If you want to get any info you need on the racetrack, ReadingMotorsportsPark.com.
Excellent. See you next week. You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.